Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord. The commemoration of All Souls, I would say, is a continuation of what we celebrated yesterday, which is the commemoration, the solemnity of all the saints. Both of these celebrations combined is a nod, a celebration of what we proclaim every Sunday in our creed when we say, "I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting." We proclaim boldly that our community is not only limited to this, limited to Holy Family. No, we are part of a bigger communion of the Archdiocese, of the entire Universal Church, and it extends to our brothers and sisters in heaven, in their glorious living and glorious seeing the Lord face to face. So that's what we had yesterday. And today, we celebrate our brothers and sisters, and we pray for them, our brothers and sisters in purgatory. That's what we're doing today. Now, to understand the depth and the immense beauty of these two celebrations, we need to understand what will happen in the end. What's going to happen when we die? If we die this afternoon, or if we die tonight, or if we die whenever, do we know what's going to happen to us? We need to know, because knowing the end makes us realize what we have at the moment and makes us prepare well for the coming of that wondrous event in the end. So we understand that Christians, well, all people, when we die, there are two kinds of judgment that will happen. Remember that. There are two kinds of judgment that's going to happen to everybody when they die. When a person dies, the body, the soul, leaves the body. That is the definition of death. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. The body stays here on earth, and the soul immediately flies before the presence of God. And right there in the presence of God, immediately the person is given what we call particular judgment. That's the first judgment. The soul flies to heaven, receives the particular judgment, and in the particular judgment, the soul will either go to hell, the eternal fire of damnation, if the soul has no charity or love manifested in that in his or her life here on earth, when there is hatred for God, when all of the person's choices in this life is saying, "I don't want to be God. I don't want to be with God." You see, sinful choices, sinful lifestyle is saying, even without articulating concretely, it is saying, "I don't want to be with you, God." And so God will respect that. And so you go to a place where there is no God. And that place is called hell. Now, the person The person who longs to see God. The person who loves the Lord. The person who, according to the letter of St. Paul in the second reading today, has received the Spirit of the Lord that cries to God, Abba, Father, Dad. That person longs to see the Lord. Well, that person, his or her choices in this life will be all about doing that which is good, that which is pleasing to the Lord, because he or she wants to be with the Lord. And so that soul will be given the reward of heaven. You get what you desire. And what a wonderful prayer of the Lord, assurance of the Lord here in the gospel that we have heard. And the Lord said, it is the will of my Father that I will not lose anyone whom I have gathered. Isn't that a beautiful promise? We have all been gathered by the Lord in our baptism, and it is the will of the Father that all of us will be gathered in heaven in his presence. Now, there are many grandmas and grandpas here and mothers and fathers. Don't you wish that all the time you have your children next to you? That's the heart of our Father. And so the good soul goes to heaven in particular judgment. Remember, these are all souls. These are all souls because the body is right here on earth. So we can say reasonably that at this moment, as we speak, all the citizens in heaven are disembodied. They are all souls. Even St. Francis, St. Ignatius, name your saint. They are disembodied. They're all souls. The only enfleshed being that we know in heaven is Jesus and the Blessed Mother. Because they are waiting for the second judgment. Okay, now, where does purgatory come in? Now, we said there are only two destinations, hell or heaven, and the good ones go to heaven. Now, to be in heaven, you have to be a saint with a capital letter S. In heaven, there is no such thing as the angels, and then the big saints, and then us, the regular people. And no. In heaven, there's only, of course, there's the Trinity, there's the angels, and the saints. No one that's not a saint will not enter heaven. You have to be a saint to be in heaven. And this is where purgatory comes in. Because some of us, if not most of us, needed further cleansing from the remnant of the traces of sin that we have experienced here on earth. Every sinful action leaves us with traces of sinfulness. You cannot have not a single trace of sinfulness to enter heaven. And so what happens if we leave this world with that trace of sin? We go to purgatory. And that is where we spend time, and the flames of purgatory are cleansing fire. You know, it's kind of like bringing out the gold in us. And we stay there for a while, and after a while we enter heaven. Every soul in purgatory will eventually end up in heaven. Purgatory is only a place where we are being cleansed and prepared so that we come out in the caliber of Ignatius and Francis and whoever saint there is. Now we need to explain, what do we mean when we say traces of sin that needs to be cleansed by the cleansing fire of purgatory? Well, the Catholic understanding of sin is a bit nuanced. When we sin, two things happen. One, we offend God. There is a rupture in our relationship with God. we turn away from God, and so something happens to that relationship. So that's the first thing that happened. Second is we also rupture our relationship with each other and with creation. And so every time we sin against God and we sin against the body of Christ. There is no such thing as a private sin. Even if your sin is pornography, you say, I'm all by myself enjoying pornography. No, because you are hurting the body of Christ of which you are a part of. So those two things happen. Now, we go to confession. We go to confession, or maybe in the case of someone who's dying, was given the last rites or the anointing of the sick. These two sacraments will erase and remove the sin. That which is removed in confession and reconciliation, that which is restored in confession is our relationship with God. For our part, we have to do something else to repair the damage that we have done in the social aspect of our sinning. The Catholic Church gives this metaphor for us to understand fully what happens when we sin. You see all these beautiful stained glass windows here? You know, so if I take a rock, and strike one of these beautiful stained glass window, it shatters. And naturally, Father Ricky will be mad at me. My friendship with Father Ricky will be ruptured. And so I go to Father Ricky, and I tell Father Ricky, Father Ricky, in a fit of madness, I did that. So I am very sorry. I repent of my sin. And Father Ricky, being nice and a wonderful human being, says, "Okay, Father Leo, I forgive you. You are my friend again. My relationship with him is now repaired. We are good friends again. But that window is still broken. It needs to be fixed." That's how sin is. So I do everything that I can to repair that window. And if I don't have the right finances, I can bring in my friends to finance the fixing of that window. That's what happens with the temporal consequence of our sin. We are made right with our relationship with God, but we need to exert effort to repair our relationship, the consequences of our action to the greater body of God. And so what happens is that if we die with this remnant of temporal consequences of our sin, we cannot enter heaven, even though we deserve heaven. We stay in purgatory. And in purgatory, all of these temporal consequences of our sin are being cleansed. And this is where we come in as the Church of God here on earth. Our prayers help the soul in purgatory to be cleansed of the temporal consequences of their sins. Every rosary that you offer to your beloved dead, every mass that you offer to your beloved dead, and the mass that we offer today, it goes to their purification so that their stay in purgatory can be shortened and so they can enter heaven. So that's what happens. Okay, but that's only the first part. Now we speak of the first judgment. Now, when is the second judgment going to come? And what happens in the second judgment? The second judgment comes with the coming of Christ here on earth. That is called the universal judgment. So first we have the particular judgment, and now we have the universal judgment. The universal judgment happens when the Lord comes back. You know, we proclaim that, we sing of that, we hope for that, we pray for that every Advent. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. And so when he comes again, there will be a second judgment. It's called the universal judgment, when the Lord will judge all of history. All of the injustices done in all of history, be that the Holocaust or the genocide of peoples, all of that will be judged. in the coming of the Lord, in the universal judgment. So that's the first event. The second event is the souls that are in heaven or in hell will unite with their bodies here on earth. That is now the resurrection of the dead. So we will receive our resurrection at the universal judgment, at the time of the coming of the Lord. And the coming together, remember they were separated, the body and the soul. And now the coming together of the body and the soul gives the body a different configuration. This time, the body will not be something that is racked with pain and suffering. It will be a glorious body. Remember the stories of Jesus in his resurrection appearances? You know, Thomas wants to touch Jesus. That's very significant. And Jesus says, come, touch me. And know that a ghost has flesh and bones. That's how we will be. We will not be ghosts. We will not be just spirit. You know, plenty of us console each other when someone dies. It says, don't worry. Now your mother is an angel of God in heaven. That's not true. That is a wrong notion. Because in heaven, we will not be angels. In heaven, we will be humans. In heaven, we will have bodies. We will be embodied, albeit glorious bodies. Like the body of Jesus when he rose from the dead. And that body can go through walls, can go through locked doors, can disappear. It is so beautiful that sometimes it could not be recognized. And yet that body can eat. It's very difficult to explain, but that's how we're going to be. And so with the soul united with the body, now they go to their final destiny. If that is in heaven, well, you will enjoy heaven with your glorified body there. That's the reason why we speak of the great heaven as a great banquet. In a banquet, there's good food, there's good wine, there will be singing and dancing. You can do that with the body, not with spirit alone. So that's the promise. Now, what about those who had been resurrected, but they're going to hell? Well, there's going to be an added pain and suffering, because now the suffering is not only shared by the spirit, but the body also, because now the two has come together. And so there's a increased suffering to those of the souls of the damned. That's eschatology, by the way. Eschatology is a sophisticated term to speak of the end times, what's going to happen to the end times. One last note. Remember what I said. At death, the body, the soul leaves the body, the soul goes up for particular judgment, and the body is left here. The body is left here waiting for the second coming of the Lord, when the body will experience bodily resurrection. So what do we do? Well, we take care of the body. We respect the body. To all of you who have attended the funeral mass, you see the care and the sacredness that we accord the body. We pray, we incense, we offer hymns and songs for the body that's awaiting resurrection. My point here is, sometimes we choose cremation. Sometimes we choose cremation, and the church says, that's fine, so long as you accord that cremated remains with the same respect and care that you would an intact body. What does that mean? Well, it means that you do not keep the cremated remains in your rooms or in your houses, because that is not the proper place. You are not giving your beloved dead the rest that they need. Rest in peace. Good luck with that one. The dead should be with the dead. The dead should rest in a hallowed ground. You know, cemetery, it comes from the Latin cementerium and Spanish cementerio, Italian cimitero. It means the place of sleeping. They have to be in a place where they're sleeping, awaiting for the second resurrection. So that's one. Second is, respect for the body is not scattering them in mountains, in oceans. Oh, because my father loved nature, so let's scatter his ashes in the mountains or in the forest. That's pagan. That's pagan. Because a practice like that is saying, there is no resurrection, this is it. And so let's scatter, let's do what we can, or some, let's make a jewelry out of the remains of our parents. Or some, you know, let's split the remains. You know, one goes to Manila, one goes to Los Angeles, and one goes to maybe Canada, where the families are. No, that's not the teaching of the church. That's not respect for the remains. You know, we keep the body intact in an urn. We lay it in a place that's hallowed. And we pray for our beloved dead. I hope our reflection here of the commemoration of our beloved dead brings to mind the many joys that awaits us. Remember, in all of this reflection, it is the will of God that we be with Him for all eternity. In the meantime, while we here on earth labor, we are reminded to keep doing that which is good, to know the justice of God and know the reward that awaits us in heaven one day when the Lord comes.